Well, I appreciate those kind words, Megan. Anyway, excuse me for this voice, but this been going on for a couple of years, so I guess if I rattle a little, you'll forgive me. I'm Charlene Leslie, recovered from the effects of alcoholism, but there are other ravages of time that I'm working on. So, I guess we're here to hear my story, and it's mostly my AA story. But I guess I started out in the beginning with some confusion in the family. My mother went through, I guess, about 19 hours of contractions and all that stuff when I was born. And anyway, later on, we found out she had named me Lola Charlene, and her name is Lola. My father's name is Charles, and the last name was Jimerson. And she had named me Lola Charlene, and my birth certificate came out several months later with the name of Charlene Lola, and she just decided to leave it. And I was always happy about that because I preferred not having her name as well. But also the date of my birth got mixed up. That's a strange story. You know, I was born on a Monday morning, and it's what I was always told. And I kept figuring out when I got about 8 years old that it had to be on a Tuesday. And my mother and I disagreed about it for till I was 19, when I went to work for a place that showed that January 3rd or January 2nd, 1930, or 1930, January 3rd, 1939 was actually a Tuesday. And she realized and told me the story that, oh, well, that's why your daddy didn't have to pay but 4 days in the hospital instead of five. So anyway, we got started out with some crazy things there, and we got that one straightened out. And at 3 years old, my brother, I was the youngest. My brother and sister were taking music lessons, and I wanted to take music lessons. And there was a piano in the house, and I begged, and finally, mother let me do it. I was not quite 4 when I started with a little tiny violin and all that, and that comes in later because I eventually got serious with it later. But that was a big part of my life, the violin playing. I quit the piano at about 10, and then in my 30s, or 40s, I guess it was, I took another year. But at any rate, with respect to God, and I know this is a non-secular, well, anyway, we don't like to talk about God, but that's how I grew up, was with my mother was a believer in Jesus, but my father was not. So I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and went on a regular basis. And when I was about 5 or 6, well, it was a Pentecostal, so there was a lot of noise and so on. And I remember one time that, and this is important to how I feel now, that there was an altar call, and I went down, and what I remember is being laying under the altar and saying and telling God how beautiful he was and how the mountains were so beautiful that he created and all that. And those are the things that were going through my mind. But all these wonderful things that I could see about God and the Creator is the way I saw God. And but a different language is coming out of my mouth. What I was thinking and what was coming out of my mind were different. But at the same time, I felt this love surround me. It really pressed down on me. I could barely move, but it was such a blissful feeling and such love that it was amazing. And so I was probably there. I heard a lady come by and tell my mother, just let her be, let her enjoy it. And I was probably there 40, 45 minutes before I could move and before I got up. But oh, it was what a blissful time and what love I felt. I've never felt it like that since. And so as I grew older and I heard all this tough stuff in church about eternal conscious torment, is what I call it now, but about going to hell afterward, I just couldn't believe it because what I felt was love, not all this awful things that they were saying, you know, that they trying to scare you. Anyway, I was baptized probably around that time in water. I don't know whether it was before or afterward, but I stayed in the church until I got out of college and got married the first time. But about the alcoholism, I had an uncle who I was told was alcoholic, but he wasn't allowed to come around the house when he was drinking. So I never saw him in action, but I just knew that being an alcoholic was a terrible thing. My father had beers on Friday nights when he got paid. And every Friday night, and he'd just usually have one or two and then come home and have dinner with us. But it was one, I saw him drunk once, and that was one Friday night. He didn't get home. And my aunt and her children, who were my age and younger, we were all there, and we had dinner. We couldn't figure out why he was so late. And so finally, mother went outside and looked, and the car was in the driveway. And so she went out to the barn, and he was in the barn. And he'd gotten drunk, and he went out to the barn to sleep it off, I guess, so we wouldn't see him. And they came in. I got so scared seeing him. All of us kids went under the kitchen table because, I mean, I'd never seen anything like that. But anyway, that only happened once. My mother, I only saw drink twice. And that was not when I was young. That was after I was an adult and had started drinking myself. But my brother was 7 years older. In high school, he was playing music with Buck Owens and Merle Haggard for a while. And then he went overseas and he came back. And I went to, I got scholarships to go to UC Berkeley and went off to school. And, you know, but I'd seen my brother drink some, you know. I knew he was drinking there at the, when he was playing drums, I guess, though he was a fiddle player too. But at any rate, it was just, well, you know, I had only been allowed to date for about a year and a half before I started Berkeley. And so there I get up there, and I didn't expect to have a date in college and for a long time, because I mean it hadn't happened much when I was in high school. So I was shocked to get invited to a sorority party the first weekend I was there. And that was during that week where they kind of orient you to what classes are. And so I went to a Sigma Pi party, and that was when I had my first drink. And I got asked what do you want? And I said, well, I'll have a Manhattan. It's the only thing I'd heard of it in the movies. I had no idea what to ask. And he was so impressed later, because I wasn't just one of those, you know, girls that could only have fuzzy stuff, you know, and pink drinks. You know, I went for that. It tasted awful. It was just awful. Well, I wouldn't let him know it, of course. But that was the beginning of my drinking career, was with the Manhattan. And by the time the spring came around, I had gone to work at the school newspaper selling ads. And in the end of the spring semester, I got went to a party for the newspaper, and we'd had some before, but I had at one of our other parties, I had gotten so drunk that I had thrown up at the party and so on. So I was awarded the drinking award. And but most of the time, those first 10 years or so, drinking was fun. You know, I mean, it's what I did for a social life. You know, I had 3 years of 3 years of marriage that I met Richard when I was going to Berkeley, and so I left school there, and that didn't work out. But I'd started going out with him, he was taking me to these fine dining places, and we were having drinks, and that was our social life, was dinner and drinks and whatever. And so after we married, it was still dinner and drinks, and so that part was still fun. But after we separated, I moved to Las Vegas and to be with my sister and her family. They lived here at the time. So anyway, drinking in Las Vegas was fun. I had some really funny incidents that finally occurred. I don't know if, my second marriage, well, it wasn't really a marriage. My second wedding ceremony was in Las Vegas, and I'd gone out drinking on Friday night because my boyfriend that had been on a trip with to see another lady, and he'd come back, and I was mad at him, and anyway, I went out drinking and all by myself, and wound up at this place called the Rendezvous. It sits where one of the big hotels is now. But at any rate, as I was leaving around 1 or 2 in the morning, these guys were coming in, and the one introduced himself to me and said, you know, said what his name was, Jimmy Smith, right? You'll never forget this night. And to my chagrin, I don't forget it. We wound up going out and talking and so on. And I wound up marrying him that afternoon. It was leap year, you know. Marry him that afternoon. And then I called, and this is all because of booze, you know. I mean, and I was out of a job at the time, so I think I was just trying to find somebody to depend on, but that sure didn't happen. So at any rate, he left that first evening. That was a Saturday night we got married, and on Sunday night he went to get his things. On Monday morning he showed up and then informed me that he couldn't get his other things, that he had slept in the chair all night. He was actually living with another lady. Anyway, I had him take me downtown to see a lawyer, and I wound up going to see a lawyer and wound up getting an annulment over that one. But you know, oh, what booze will do for you. It could have been worse. Another time out drinking, I had a friend that was supposed to come down and it was a place on 15th Street. It used to be in Las Vegas. It used to be called Charlie's Bar. And now I think it's a comedy club. But at any rate, I was drinking there and my friend was supposed to pick me up and take me. And we were going to go out to the lake. And he saw my condition and decided that perhaps I shouldn't go, and I decided I shouldn't go, and so at any rate, he left, and I went back to the restroom, and it was kind of outside a little bit, you know, where the door into it was out, and I had on a fancy green knit suit and high heels and a girdle and, you know, all that good stuff, and as I was getting up from the commode, I pulling up my girdle and my thumbs got caught on the top of it and got stuck there. And so I had to turn to try to keep from falling forward. It was a long ways forward. So I threw myself this way and I hit my head anyway, I wound up finally getting untangled from all this stuff and going back in. They could see I was getting black eyes and so on, and the guys were trying to ask me. They figured that this fellow had beat me up, and no, it was just me. But anyway, I had black eyes for 2 weeks. Out of the time leaving Charlie's Bar, I wound up totaling a car that was on a side street and messed mine up too, but mine was not totaled, but I totaled that one. And I told the policeman a story that wasn't true. He didn't believe me, but at least he gave me a ticket for reckless driving instead of taking me to jail. So I was lucky that all those years I didn't get thrown into jail, at any rate, there were a lot of things that, all kinds of stuff, normal stuff. One time, I went out to the lake drinking and was on the boat with these guys, and we were in the marina, and they decided that they wanted to go out. It was dark, and one of the guys wanted to go out and take it out onto the lake. And I did not want to be out on the lake with these guys I didn't know. And so I threatened that I was going to jump overboard if they started up, but they did. And I jumped overboard. And there was all kinds of consternation with that business. But anyway, they got me out of the water, and the engine didn't get me. And anyway, just so many times that I could have killed myself or gotten myself killed or all that stuff. And it finally, by this time, it wasn't fun anymore, somehow or another. You know, the degradation that comes and all that. And I was in my early 30s when I decided I couldn't do this anymore. And so I started, controlling it. So I was going to school, working a full-time job and going to school part-time, getting my undergraduate degree. And so at any rate, I got out and about 5 years, I guess, I went where I maybe had only one, where I had only one drink every 2 or 3 months. And then a couple of times, maybe two in an evening, but I discovered it was really hard not to have the second drink. And it was even harder when I had the second drink to not have the third one. But I went through that, and then I wound up getting through undergraduate school and starting law school. And that was another miracle that I even got into law school, but I was doing the controlled drinking laws in law school as well. And at any rate, finally got through law school, got a job. Then I got invited to a seminar with a group that I'd been president in when I'd been before I went off to school. Anyway, I went off. Got to catch my brain again here. Anyway, going off to, I went to Florida, and what was June of 1980, that I went to this seminar, and a lot of people there I knew, but I was single at the time, and I met a man on Sunday night, and that first Sunday night, I had one drink with him. And then the next night, after we get through all our daily stuff, I had dinner. We were all with the group, but I had dinner with him and with the group. I had two drinks. The third night, I had three drinks. And the fourth night, we had dinner at a place that, in a restaurant that used to be a convent. Of all things. And so where our dining table was, there were around 15 of us at the dining table, was on the altar. I mean, not the altar, but the raised area where the pastors and the choir and all that stuff, you know, so they're up a little higher. And I thought that was rather funny considering what was going on. But anyway, I had at least four that night. And I remember my last one I had was the King Alphonse. And I realized later that everything in it I was allergic to. The cream, the alcohol, the Kahlua has caffeine. I can't do caffeine. I didn't know that at the time. And at any rate, I don't know how many I had. I just know it was at least four, and I know that that was the last one. And so we get back, and actually the seminar was a different seminar in Florida. This was Atlanta, Georgia, where this happened, because the hotel that the seminar was in was in the Hilton, and across the street was a small. Was a smaller hotel that only charged about half as much, because I was paying my own way on this one. So at any rate, this gentleman walked me across the street and walked me up, and there we are with the he has the, it's after 11 at night, and the guy at the desk, well, he put the buzzer on so I could open it up, and I'm standing there, you know, holding the door and wanting to seduce this guy and invite him in. But I didn't want to either, you know, but I'd had enough to drink that I was in all kinds of confusion. And anyway, and this guy hollers, shut the door, lady, you're screwing up my TV. And so, you know, I said a quick good night, went in, and then cried and carried on. And the next night we didn't have dinner together because they had something else going on. We already arranged who we were going to have dinner with on that Thursday night. And Friday morning I woke up, my airplane ticket was to fly home on Friday night, and anyway, Friday morning, I'm on the phone trying to call this other man that was there from Las Vegas and trying to switch tickets with him so I could go back Saturday and I could get myself into trouble with this gentleman on Friday night. And all the time I'm on the phone, I'm saying, dear Lord, please don't let me get hold of Charlie. Please don't let me get hold of Charlie. Please don't let me. I must have called a half a dozen times and never got hold of Charlie. So I was saved by fate. I got on the airplane that night and cried most of the way from Atlanta home to Las Vegas. But I had a diary. And that's when I decided, it was June 20th, 1980, that I wasn't, I knew I couldn't have just one. I didn't know where it was going to take me. And it was taking me places I no longer wanted to go. And so I got home, and then a friend took me to this lady that lived close to me. Her name is Rose, and took me to her house for a Bible study. And after she picked me up, and so after that, Rose then about 3 months later invited me to a place on a Saturday night. Invited me to a place where they don't drink, but they have fun. Well, that sounds like great. I mean, we're both single, so she picks me up. And when we get to this place, in the back, there's a swimming pool over here, and the back of the house is here. And then we get in the parking lot, and she says, oh, by the way, this is an AA meeting. And I, of course, you know, I'd only thought about AA once before, and I, you know, in my drinking days, but I'd never gone to an AA meeting. So anyway, so I said, well, okay, you know, whatever. So we went inside, and I heard these people talking, and then I surprised Rose. Somebody called on me, and I said, hi, I'm Charlie. I'm an alcoholic. And she almost fell off her chair, because she didn't know that I had been drinking all those years before, and I didn't know that she had been having alcohol problems. So it was quite a revelation to both of us. But anyway, I heard these stories that made me realize that I fit in here. You know, I mean, I didn't wind up in jail, but I could have several times. I didn't wind up misshapen or in an accident, which I could have, you know. And so at any rate, I listened to all that, and I knew I was with people that would understand me. And one of the things I learned over time in coming to AA was some people didn't talk about their feelings, but others do. And I listened to people talk about their feelings, and I had never had anybody that I could talk to about my feelings before. And there I was in my early 40s. So at any rate, it was pretty interesting. I remember somebody talking about how they got angry, and she said, you know how you get when that gets that feeling in the pit of your stomach and just rises, you know. And I was just so angry, and my thought was, oh my God, is that what that is? I mean, I didn't know that was anger. I'd seen my mother throw things on the floor and break them and so on. And I thought that was anger. I find out now that was rage. And but I was feeling anger. So there's just so much I've learned here. There's things like, discovering that I have a change of thinking, you know, listening to everybody's stories, I could hear people talk about when they discovered one of their character defects. And all of a sudden I would realize that by hearing this story that something like that happened to me, and that there was something deep inside me that needed cleaning out, because that I had stuffed it. And so in listening to these stories, your stories, I've been able to recognize things in myself that need to be cleaned out, because they They fester. I mean, for me at least, they fester. I can't speak for anybody else, but they go and just sit and make me sick. And I don't know what's going on. It's like, you know, so listening to all that, I am able to at least bring those things up and out and face them and let them go. And so I guess a lot of my 12-step work has been on an informal basis, because with people that I've been close to and listening to the stories and so on, it's helped me through the process of the clean out. And anyway, I had what is it? Yeah, that was been almost 43 years since that King Alphonse, and been a lot has happened in my life since then. You know, another marriage, that one passed away. One of the great things that's happened in AA for me is I met this man. and it's, you know, it was one of those things that because of our difference, our backgrounds, I didn't think anything was going to come of it, but we met. It was one of those, I take it as a divine appointment. My niece, whose name is Naomi, invited me to called me up. I was just coming back from a Thanksgiving with my family in Bakersfield, and I'd just gotten home, and I got a call from Naomi, and I can't remember. I think it was the first Monday night after Thanksgiving. It could have been a week later. Maybe she'll tell me sometime. But at any rate, she calls and invites me to an AA meeting the next day at 12:30. And I said, sure, you know. And this attorney I knew was taking her. I didn't know that at the time, but at any rate, so the next day I get to the clubhouse, or to the club where the meeting is, and I go in the place where I always go, but I was 5 minutes late, and there was no Naomi. So I sat through the meeting, and at the end of the meeting, this really cute little guy comes up and grabs my hand, and we're saying the statement that we always say at the end of it. And then he asked me out to lunch afterward. And I'm thinking, well, you know, she's not here, so what can I, you know, why not? So I go to my car and leave a note, and I think that's where it was. And anyway, I went with him in his convertible to a place nearby, and we had lunch, and afterward, then I called my niece, and there we are. She says, well, where were you at, Charlie? And I said, what do you mean where? I was there and you weren't there. And it turns out there are two different buildings and different meeting rooms. I never knew about the other meeting. So anyway, I'm so grateful for that divine appointment. And afterward, we went out again. He wasn't so sure, because I was going to church all the time. Different kind of messianic, but anyway, and our politics and religion just didn't match. But there I was that first day trying to talk him into that there really weren't that big of differences. And I still don't think they're that big of differences. And now there's not. So I see his way, and he hasn't moved much, but I've always prayed, you know, that for my higher power, that he and I be closer and closer, or, you know, so that we can have that intimacy that you have from knowing and believing the same things and so on. And anyway, I committed myself to being open-minded, and in our secular group here, the reading that we do, I just love it, because I'm not committing myself to proselytize you or to try to make you believe the way I do, and I don't want you to have to believe the way I do, because I'm happy the way I am, and I've learned to accept you the way you are, and I want you to accept me the way I am. Anyway, I'm kind of running out here, and I think I've kind of quit. Anyway, 12 years, we celebrated our 12th anniversary yesterday. So anyway, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much, Megan, for inviting me.